This is Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Chris Nolte, and on this Reporters Roundtable Thursday, let's check in with Joseph Pete. He's a business reporter and writer for the Times of Northwest Indiana about the stories he's put out there in print and online. A couple of them that we'll talk about in particular, Joe, is the couple of region stories involving the pandemic and the impact of the pandemic, in particular about flower shops and about a very famous festival that nobody got a chance to visit last year. Let's talk first about the flower shops and how they're trying to deal with the pandemic these days.
Yes. It's very odd with the pandemic has really tested a lot of the supply chain in the country. You've seen, obviously, when the pandemic began, you saw shortages of toilet paper. You saw shortages of hand sanitizer, paper products, bread, all these staples at the grocery stores. You went out to see, shortages of meat for a while, higher prices. Recently, a big problem has been the shortage of semiconductors. It's really been befouling the automotive industry for some time. But another one of the supply chains that's really been hurt was flowers. Flowers are, we used to grow a lot of flowers in this country. We don't so much anymore because of the economics. Most of the flowers you'll see at the supermarket or at florists are actually grown in South America. There are some in Europe, but the South America climate tends to be the most favorable for production. And when the coronavirus pandemic started, they're anticipating a huge drop in demand. A lot of the producers ended up laying a significant amount of people off. And as the pandemic kind of drug on, like a lot of the growers kind of went out of business, and then demand has picked up as life has kind of gotten back more toward normal. Vaccination rates have been increasing. People have been returning to work and normal life and so forth. The incidents have been and death rates have been falling. But the growers in South America and places like Ecuador and Bogota and so forth, they have not been able to find workers to come back to work. They haven't been able to keep up at all with the demand. For instance, Brian Forrest, they have locations in Maryville and Gary on Ridge Road right across from the cemetery. In Glen Park, they have reported that, in 72 years in the business, they've never seen a shortage this bad. They've never seen prices this high. They've never seen availability this bad. Floral shops everywhere and grocery stores were saying, there's a lot of flowers, they will just be gone for completely unavailable for a while. They've had trouble procuring daisies and roses, various types. Prices have absolutely soared at the wholesale level, 35 to 40%. They've been forced to, a lot of these places are small mom and pop shops or grocery stores operating at razor thin margins. And they've been forced to, pass some of that on to the customers, unfortunately, but they've had to get creative with a lot of the floral arrangements because they're not able to procure all the flowers they normally can. They're just unavailable. And one of the side effects is when florists are doing big arrangements, there's a floral spray paint they use so they can give flowers different accents and tints. But the shortage has been so bad, no one is actually making that. So there's no, they're used to working with spray paint. They don't have it anymore. So if they're trying to do accents or whatever, they've been forced to kind of use ribbons and things of that nature. But it's a worldwide shortage. It's affecting obviously all the floral shops and supermarkets in Northwest Indiana, but it's not, and you can still find flowers. There's still, you could walk into Strack and Ventil or Jewel Osco or Whole Foods or whatever, and there's still a selection of flowers, but there's just not as much variety as there was. And floral arrangements you might be used to getting for Mother's Day or whatever, you might not be able to get every flower you normally get this year. That's just the way it's played out. It's been a particularly rough stretch because they had Easter, they had then Orthodox Easter or Greek Easter, and then they have Mother's Day coming up. The only bit of relief has been that apparently a lot of the wedding business and a lot of the proms still haven't come back, the daddy-daughter dances and so forth. Those are normally pretty big demand for flowers, but a lot of that has still delayed or is not taking place yet. So it hasn't been a complete run, but they're encouraging people order as far ahead as you can, and be kind of flexible and understanding because just because you always get X amount of roses doesn't mean that'll be there this year, and they'll work with you and they'll do the best they can, but they're all kind of pressured right now because of the a lot of the growers, some of the florists I talked to, they had a standing order for one grower for 15 years that was filled every month, and the grower is just completely gone now. They've had to really scramble to find new suppliers and to kind of adjust to this new reality. And there's no indication of how long this is going to go on and everything. The semiconductor problem has been going on for some time. So the people at the Chicago Assembly Plant have been out of work for weeks this year because they just can't find enough semiconductors to put in the vehicles.
One last thing we should mention, Joseph, before we get out of here, is to talk about the fact that everybody who missed eating pierogi will have their opportunity once again. We had this year off because of the pandemic. Now we can stuff our faces with pierogi again in downtown Whiting. Tell us about the plans for return to Pierogi Fest this summer.
Yes, Pierogi Fest, the great festival celebrating the humble Eastern European dumpling and the area's Polish heritage and cuisine is going to be returning after a year's hiatus to 119th Street in downtown Whiting. This is a very acclaimed festival. It's been on the front page of the Wall Street Journal. It's been on the Food Channel, the Travel Channel, PBS, CNN. It's been highlighted on television stations in Germany, Poland, Slovakia, China, Australia. It was just named one of the best festivals in the country by Reader's Digest. And, you know, last year, obviously, it gets very, very crowded on 119th Street. You have hundreds of thousands of people packing downtown over the three-day weekend. Last year, it was obviously impossible to stage it, but they're hoping with the vaccinations and with the, you know, lowered rates of coronavirus, they're going to be able to safely have it this year. They're putting in more hand sanitizer stations and so forth. But it'll be taking place July 23rd through the 25th. They're looking at, bringing back everything, the parade, the vendors. A lot of the vendors they've been talked to are very eager to get back. Last summer, pretty much all their events were canceled. So it's been a struggle for a lot of them. But they're going to bring back all the wackiness and festivities, the pierogi toss contest, the nun dunk tank, the T-shirts about the Polish drinking team and Body by Pierogi, summer staples everybody kind of knows and loves. They said there were a lot of disappointment last year when they were forced to cancel it, but they're getting a lot of excitement now that they're going to bring it back.
Well, Joe, we're going to have to leave it at that, and we'll just all have to wait until we have our opportunity this summer to see Mr. Pierogi walk the streets of downtown Whiting again. And thank you very much for spending time going over the stories that you put out in print and online this week. We'll talk with you again soon.
Thank you very much for having me.
You're listening to Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. Low-income Northwest Indiana parents of sick children can now seek medical treatment closer to home. Michael Puente, who is the host of the Lakeshore Public Radio program Off Mic, recently spoke with State Representative Hal Slager about the bill he sponsored that has now become law.
Representative Slager, this is a bill that's been in the long time coming, correct?
I started looking into this back in 2013 and trying to figure out what the problems were, and they were all kinds of mechanical issues as it related to reimbursement, but ultimately, in addition to that, it had to do with reimbursement for out-of-state Medicaid patients, and this is going to have such a dramatic impact on so many families, not just in Northwest Indiana, but especially in Northwest Indiana, but also the Louisville and Cincinnati markets are positively impacted as well, and it just makes Indiana one more arrow in the quiver of being a great place to live.
Yeah, I just want to make sure I categorize it the right way. It's now going to allow for out-of-state pediatric hospitals to be reimbursed close to the in-state Medicaid rate or the same?
We need to be careful when we're talking about rates. It will be reimbursement close to what our in-state hospitals get reimbursed. The funding mechanisms for Medicaid are very complicated, and rate is just one aspect of it.
I see.
So what we've done, we found a way to get this done in such a way that the amount of reimbursement may not be exactly the same, but it'll be similar.
I see. And this is just going to allow, because I know in some of the testimony I heard back in February when there was a hearing, a number of hospitals, I hope I'm categorizing this right, in Chicago, for example, would have to almost refuse to treat a child because of the rate was so low. Now that's going to open up treatment options closer to home for children who need it.
Sure. Well, it's in Illinois, they were particularly generous with certain services, particularly pediatric. They recognize pediatrics as a real specialty. And so they have certain add-ons and multipliers that really ramped it up that made the disparity really huge between Indiana and Illinois. So when it came to ongoing long-term treatment, that's when those hospitals in Illinois didn't want to take those on when it involved Medicaid reimbursement. Of course, emergencies, that's part of their charter. They have to take the emergencies and always have. But in this case, now that they have a much better expectation of covering their costs, I think we're going to see even more services offered by those hospitals right in Northwest Indiana. We're starting to see some of those partnerships develop now. But I see this as somewhat of an economic development issue where it's going to mean jobs and employment for more Hoosiers right here close to home.
Representative Slager, another big issue that came up this week was Governor Eric Holcomb suing legislators over a bill that would allow the General Assembly to call itself into an emergency session. This stems from all the executive orders Holcomb has signed and continues to sign related to the pandemic. Holcomb vetoed the bill, but the legislators overrode it. Now it's going to court. Holcomb says it's because it's unconstitutional, in his view, that only he can call a special session. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I was unaware that he'd actually filed suit. So that's news to me. And that's fine if you want to take it to the lawsuit and get it straightened out now before an emergency happens. I want to go on record. I think Governor Holcomb's done a terrific job. And had we been able to call ourselves back in the session, I don't think we would have, and I don't think we would have changed the thing. This really wasn't a statement, in my opinion, was not a statement about the governor and his performance, but a reality that there are neighboring states where the governors have really gone to an extreme, and we needed some way for the people to be able to weigh in after a certain amount of time. And so rather than trying to trim down the executive orders and authority, because it's necessary, we just run into situations where somebody's got to make a decision, they got to make a decision now, and there's not time to debate it. And so rather than affecting that, just giving ourselves an option to come back might change the flavor of all of that. It may never come to pass. It may never be needed again. But that's what it was. It was to give ourselves that opportunity in the future if we wanted to pursue it. And of course, the bar has to be pretty high there where all the caucuses of the legislature agreed to do that. So it was not certain by any means a willy-nilly decision. And I figured that this would not be an issue unless it was ever invoked. So we'll see what happens.
Representative Hal Slager is a Republican from Schererville. Representative Slager, thank you so much for joining us here today on Off Mic.
That was Off Mic host Michael Puente speaking with State Representative Hal Slager. You can hear Off Mic every Friday morning at 11 o'clock here on Lakeshore Public Radio. Meals on Wheels here in Northwest Indiana is very busy, of course, not only delivering meals to people who need them the most, but also checking up on them to make sure that they're doing physically as well as they can during the pandemic. But there's a very special message coming out recently here about Meals on Wheels, and it's entitled Swing into Spring. Well, we are all hoping for that, of course, with the weather changes and all, but there's a different reason. And to find out more, Charlie Masovi is the volunteer manager at Meals on Wheels of Northwest Northwest Indiana, and he is with us to talk about it. Charlie, thank you for joining us on the program today.
Well, thank you for having me, Chris. Well,
fill us in for more particulars about the Swing on Spring campaign that is underway and why you are looking for more people to help out.
Well, our Swing into Spring campaign for volunteer recruitment is in full swing. We are asking especially the people of Merivale to step up and be a part of something bigger than themselves and discover how they can become great by serving others. We have had an increase in clients and an increase in expansion of our service locations, so that does present an immediate need for volunteer meal delivery drivers. As mentioned, our largest need and growing area is Merivale.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really hoping that the residents of Merivale will come out and support those in need right in your local community. We also have expansion and growth in Lowell, Lake Station, Hobart, Hammond, Miller, and Portage. As you can imagine, with the pandemic, the upcoming needs are ever-increasing. Therefore, we are looking for more volunteer meal delivery drivers to help with that expansion. The routes only take about an hour or so, and we're looking for volunteers that can commit to as little as once or twice per month, and some even volunteer on their lunch break, so they do not need to be retired or have the entire day available. We do deliver Monday through Friday, a hot, heart-healthy, balanced meal, and sometimes we can even provide frozen meals on a Friday delivery so that the client will have something on a Saturday or Sunday that is nutritious to eat as well.
Do it turn out that most of the residents that have become people that have asked for help from Meals on Wheels take advantage of the opportunity that they have for the weekend of Friday delivery for weekend meals as well?
Yes, we have a large amount of people who request the frozen meals on Fridays so that they do have that hot, nutritious meal over the weekend, and that is growing as well. We have great community service volunteers. We have partnerships with a number of church groups, some of the sororities, the Rotary Club, the Kiwanis Club. Strachan Van Til's is a big supporter with having a service volunteer team.
Mm-hmm.
So if there are a number of local businesses or corporate partners that would be interested, they can give me a call at 219-756-3663 or send me an email at Charlie, CHARLIE, at MOWNWI.org, and I can fill them in on how their corporate service can be included as our volunteer meal delivery driver.
That's great. And we've talked about this before in our conversations, but it always bears repeating that there's a reason why Meals on Wheels is an important part of Northwest Indiana community groups, is because not only do you get to deliver meals to people that might need the meals, that can't get out to the store every single day or find other ways to be able to have their meals for them, but it's a way to, for the check up on people, make sure they're all right. That's a very important part of the service, too, I understand.
Most definitely. The clients and the people who have set up the service for those clients are always interested in the well-being of the client. So we do a well-being check. We make sure that everything is as it should be when the volunteers deliver the meal and speak with the client. They assess the current situation hands-on in the moment. If there are any issues that arise, the volunteers call our offices and we immediately set the wheels in motion by calling the client's emergency contacts that we have on file so that we can alert them to any kind of change in their behavior, their physicality, anything that might come up as an alert. And I do think that's what sets Meals on Wheels apart from other meal delivery services, is that we do check in on the well-being of the client. We also have a feature program that started with the pandemic, our Phone Pals, where a number of volunteers will take, 3 to 5 names of people that they can call and check in on, visit with over the phone, talk about anything they would like to, so that they have some kind of human engagement in these isolated times.
Mm-hmm. How's that worked out, by the way?
Oh, my gosh, it's very popular. The clients appreciate it so much, and I can tell you that the volunteers get so much out of it. They know that the joy and the engagement and the contact that they have is such a wonderful experience on both sides.
Well, Charlie, thank you for spending time with us to talk about not only the importance of Meals on Wheels here in Northwest Indiana, but the opportunity that people have if they have the time, and it's just a small amount of time if they're only allowed that, even during their lunch breaks, to be able to deliver meals to folks here in Northwest Indiana. Well, give us the website address again and how they can contact you if they would like to become a volunteer.
My contact phone number at Meals on Wheels is 219-756-3663. And my email is Charlie, Charlie, at mownwi.org. And just before we end our conversation today, Chris, I want to mention that you do not have to necessarily live in Merrillville to volunteer to deliver Merrillville routes. We do have people that come from Crown Point, Hobart, a number of different geographical locations. They come and pick up the food containers right here at our Merrillville office. They deliver in Merrillville, and then they return home. So, again, the driving routes are open to anyone in the Northwest Indiana area.
Charlie Masovi is the volunteer manager for Meals on Wheels in Northwest Indiana. They're based in Merrillville, but they serve throughout Lake and Porter counties and counties surrounding us as well, too. Thank you for telling us all about this, and hope you get more volunteers to be able to help out.
Thank you so much. I look forward to speaking with you again soon, Chris. You have a great day.
Thank you. This is Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, and lakeshorepublicradio.org. COVID-19 has brought health to the forefront of millions of Americans' minds these days, especially for women who rank it as their top health concern. That's according to a new national survey from MDVIP. And yet the same survey shows that most women are not getting the information that they need to be able to address the greatest health risks they face. 9 in 10 women are failing what's called the Women's Health IQ Quiz. And joining us to talk more about it, we have Dr. Andrea Clemis. She's the Chief Medical Officer for MDVIP. And Dr. Clemis, thanks for joining us on Regionally Speaking.
Thank you for having me.
Well, your survey shows that 94% of women failed this Women's Health IQ quiz. What are some of the most common misconceptions that women seem to have about their health?
I think the most striking misconception from the MDVIP survey is that women are more worried about cancer and arthritis than they are about heart disease. And heart disease is the number one killer, and even deadlier than all cancers combined. It's interesting because they're all so worried about cancer, yet they got all the cancer questions wrong. 8 out of 10 women did not know that a pap smear only screens for one cancer, not all female cancers. Women didn't know that lung cancer is the deadliest for women, and they didn't even know the real risk factors for breast cancer.
Many women I know say their health concerns are not being taken seriously, or they feel that they're being dismissed when they're seeking medical treatment. Why is that?
I think some of it is the lack of knowledge and education. So, for example, diseases can present differently in men and women, as well as medications can act differently. So I had a patient once who had some serious stomach issues, and she went to another doctor, and they said, don't worry about it, go home, take an antacid, you'll be fine with stress. She ended up in the emergency room that night, and she was having a heart attack because she didn't have that typical elephant sitting on the chest description like we talk about all the time, especially in men. And so she wasn't really taken seriously. So we need to do more studies and educate more.
Now, what is your advice for women who are listening to this and they may have health problems that they feel that they are not being properly addressed?
To advocate for themselves. Actually, anybody needs to advocate for themselves. The MDVIP survey showed that over 90% of women said that primary care doctors are key to keeping them healthy, yet only only 1 in 3 were comfortable talking about issues like mental health or sexual function. So if you're in with a doctor and you're talking about some issue and you feel that they're not taking you seriously or you're getting dismissed, it's okay to take a step back and say, wait a minute, I really think there's something wrong with me. We need to dig deeper. If they won't dig deeper, well, then you need to find another doctor. At MDVIP, we feel it's critical to screen for some of those things that may be taboo topics like mental health or sexual function, because it helps open up the door and makes it easier and more comfortable for the patient to talk to the doctor about it. And it makes it easier on the doctor to have some data before they have that conversation.
Mm-hmm. COVID-19, I know, is not only affecting women's physical health, but it's also taking a pretty heavy toll on their emotional well-being. What can be done to try to alleviate some of the stress and anxiety that the pandemic is causing?
Yeah, the pandemic has been a number on a lot of people. Yeah. Over half in the survey said they felt anxious, stressed, or depressed, and 41% said that they felt like they're going to break down. So you can do things like get outside. I think it's even nice up in your area. Exercise, get those endorphins going. Surround yourself with positive people. That really helps more than you know. And if you still are having issues and not feeling good, you need to ask for help.
Okay, let's talk about the good news now. We've had enough bad news in this conversation. 6 in 10 women say the pandemic has made them more resilient. And is it true that it also seems to motivate people to improve their health as well?
It is. There's a silver lining from this pandemic. Women said in the study that they felt more able to deal with life's difficulties, because I think since we've gotten through the past year, we can get through anything. And 60% said that the pandemic was a catalyst to help them motivate them to take better care of their health.
Now, what do you think seem to be the most striking findings from the survey, this Women's Health IQ Quiz, as it's called?
Yeah, I think the most striking one was all about heart disease. And you really need to know. One of the things we found with all women in the survey was they're not getting their screening test done, but they want to know their numbers. You need to know your cholesterol, your inflammatory markers. I don't know if you know, but more than half the heart attacks happen with the normal cholesterol. You need to look for your inflammation markers, and that's what we do at MDVIP. I just published a study recently showing that patients in the MDVIP model who are at high risk have less heart attacks and strokes than out there in the rest of the world. So you need to have a physician to partner with you to identify those risks. And the other big area is mental health. Over 60% of women in the MDVIP survey said that they've never been screened for depression, anxiety, or stress. So we need to do a better job of that.
Can you tell us approximately how many people were surveyed when getting things together from the quiz?
Sure, over 1,500 women.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, where can listeners go to look at and even take the quiz and find out more in detail about it?
They can go to mdvip.com/womenshealthIQ so they can take the quiz, figure out if they pass or fail, and get the answers, and they can learn more about MDVIP and find a doctor near them. And
can you tell us a little bit more about what MDVIP is all about?
Sure. It's a personalized preventive wellness company. We're a national network of primary care physicians. We have over 1,100 physicians taking care of over 350,000 patients. And the physicians have the time, the tools, the technology to really partner with their patients to get that deep bond and to really know their patients so they can help them live healthier, more vibrant lives.
Dr. Andrea Clemes is the chief medical officer for MDVIP. They've just put out a Women's Health IQ quiz. And if you go on the website, you can take that quiz yourself if you like. And thank you very much for spending time to tell us about the results of the quiz. And I'm sure that we'll have more to talk about it later. Thank you very much for today.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
And that's it for Regionally Speaking for today and for this week. Our guests, thank you to the Times of Northwest Indiana business reporter Joseph Peet, talking about the stories he's had in print and online, Meals on Wheels volunteer coordinator Charlie Masovi, and to Dr. Andrea Clemes, the chief medical officer for MDVIP, about a very serious concern and about a survey, a women's health IQ quiz that's out there. And thanks for joining us. Back with you on Monday.